So what responsibility does the Australian government have here to ensure that weapons are not being used in war crimes or genocide?
So if you ask the Australian government, they say that everything they're doing complies with their international obligations, that they have processes in place to be rigorous and have oversight about what they're actually sending. People need to apply for a permit to send it. So they're conscious of what is actually leaving Australia and going to other countries, including the UAE. And they say that their decision-making about what goes takes into account a number of things, and they do include human rights concerns, but they also include things like a focus on foreign policy or regional stability and security and how those exports might affect that. So it's not just human rights, it's much broader. But I think the important thing here in the context of this story is that when we asked the Australian government about this, they didn't say what processes they had in place to monitor what happens to these weapons after they're exported. Are they monitoring where they go? Do they have any actual knowledge of this? So given everything that Ben said about weapons going to this part of the world, they're not actually able to give a definitive, they're not going, and we're monitoring to make sure that they're not going.
Mm. And to Henry's point, we've had some pretty robust feedback to these stories, but look, we're not being Pollyanna-ish about it. Look, we live in the real world. It's often a hostile place. There are conflicts all over the world. Some of them are worsening. Countries do need to defend themselves, and governments, you know, have a primary obligation to protect their populations. But weapons are not an intrinsic good. Weapons, the fact that they are a reality and a necessity, shouldn't be some sort of cause for celebration or even, you know, profiteering. We had a defence minister. We talked about the Sydney Arms Expo the other week. Defence minister went to this expedition and described it as a kind of Navy Disneyland. He said it was the happiest place on earth. He said Defence Force officers were literally salivating over some of these new weapons. He said they were extremely cool weapons on display. Now, aside from the gratuitous misuse of literally, that's a really troubling attitude. The idea that we need to be shipping weapons over the world and selling weapons around the world is some cause for celebration and fascination. This issue is often sort of posited in very Manichaean terms, and that Australia's on, you know, on the side of peace and security, and sort of, you know, put it in Tony Abbott terms, Australia's a goodie, not a baddie. But I'd argue that that distinction, if it exists at all, is a very blurred line indeed, and often pretty indistinguishable. We need to talk about what we're talking about here. We need to recognise that bombs are made to be dropped, and they're made to be dropped on people. And these are weapons designed to kill as many people as efficiently as possible. That's what they do. And I'd argue whether a bullet was made by Australia or whether it was made by another liberal democracy or by a military junta, a goodie or a baddie, that doesn't make much difference when that bullet's being fired at you. Where the bomb came from, what export controls were around it was subjected to, that's not of much interest when it lands on your house.
Mm. There is a real dissonance, Ben, as you describe, between what is happening at these events, what is being said at these events, and then the reality on the ground for the communities where these weapons are used and deployed. In a time of increasing impunity, of state-sanctioned violence, how do you process that?
It's a difficult thing to process, Noor. I mean, one of the things that struck me about reporting on this is that it's what's not said, right? What's not shown at these weapon fairs is the human cost and the tragedy that often follows their use. A broader thing to examine here as well, when you're talking about that dissonance, is Australia talks a lot about the role it can play on the world stage and the fact that we're trying to be a middle power, we're trying to have influence on the region, UAE is a strategic partner. The weapons that we supply there aren't just a matter of Australian companies being able to make money exporting things. They're actually part of a broader diplomatic move. And it can't be divorced from how we're trying to build connections with foreign governments there as well and build our influence. But if you talk to people like Philip Kastner, a peace scholar and academic at the University of Western Australia, there's this broader discussion that's not really being talked about at these fairs. Is this the way that Australia wants to exert its influence on the world stage? Is this really the way that we want to generate wealth by exporting arms? Or do we need to have a broader discussion about what we stand for?
I think Henry's point's a really strong one about the rhetoric that we see around this and the things that aren't said. You go to these arms fairs and the language is very precise and it's bloodless. There are, you know, the weapons that that are on display are discussed as capabilities, their assets, their solutions, their systems. We hear about these assets being mission ready or deployable, but there's no discussion of against whom they're going to be deployed. The conflict is sanitised and it's corporatised and it's euphemised.
And these manufacturers are making huge profits from the wars that we're seeing around the world. Ben, Henry, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Noel.
Thanks, Noel.
That was Henry Bellow and Ben Doherty, senior reporters at Guardian Australia. You can find more of their work on theguardian.com and we've linked to their latest piece on the Full Story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria. Sound design and mixing by Daniel Simo. The executive producers were Hannah Parks and Joe Koning. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also leave us a review. I'm Noor Haidar. Thanks for listening.